Krishna, well, in the last, in text 9, he described that the having this vision of this type of philosophy, asatyam apratishtam te, these demons are nashtatmano lalpa buddhaya. They're lost unto themselves because they have very little intelligence. So now in this verse, Krishna describes why they're alpa buddhaya. And the basic principle of life, their basic principle of life is kama ashritya. That's why they have little intelligence, because they are kama ashritya. Text 10, let us chant together. 10.
Kamam ashritya dushpuram dambha mana madanvitaha moha griva sangrahan pravartante shuchi vrataha.
Taking shelter of insatiable lust and absorbed in the conceit of pride and false prestige, the demoniac, thus illusioned, are always sworn to unclean work, attracted by the impermanent. From 10 to 18, Krishna's, after having briefly described the demoniac qualities, beginning from text 4, he now begins to describe the activities and the mentality of those who have demoniac nature. Demons doesn't just mean, you know, someone with, a tail and horns on their head, but it means anyone who has these qualities. Of course, we all have some good qualities, some daivi sampat and asurik sampat. So, this is Krishna describing the mentality and the activities of someone who has this demoniac tendency. So, the first thing he says is kama ashritya, dushpuram. They, as opposed to the Daivi Prakriti Ashrita, the Mahatmas described previously, who take shelter of the Daivi Prakriti, here the demons take shelter of Kama. Kamam Ashritya Dushpuram. And the kind of lust that is Krishna describing as Dushpuram, or insatiable, kind of feverish lust. And they take shelter of this, and therefore they're Alpa Buddhaya. Because their mind is spinning in the mode of passion, and so many desires are entering in, so they don't have the peace, the peaceful mind, in order to actually be intelligent. And as we said already, they don't have faith in Shastra, and that's why they don't know what to do and what not to do. Pravrittim cha, nivrittim cha, janana vidur asura. So, and even though they're Alpa Manasa or Alpa Buddhaya, they're also Dambha Mana Madanvita. They're completely proud. Dambha, we already described. Dambha means making a false show, ostentation of different things. Prabhupada describes in his lecture. What is Alpa Buddhaya? Less intelligent. So why he has become less intelligent? This is described here. Kamam ashritya. His basic principle of life is lust or desire. He has taken shelter of principally the lusty desire. Our constitutional position is we have to take shelter of somebody, just like the dog. The dog, if he has no shelter, a good master, he has no position. He's a street dog. No food, no shelter. He doesn't know where to go. The constitutional position of the dog is that it must have a good master, then he's happy. Sometimes it's killed by the municipality. Similarly, our position is dog. We must understand it. We cannot live independently. It is not possible. The demoniac persons have no shelter, therefore they are miserable. Dambha mana madanvita. Dambha mana madanvitaha. These asuras, these rascals, they are simply falsely proud. Just like the same example, dog. The dog is very proud, barking, yow, yow, yow. He does not know that I am chained. He's such a fool that as soon as the master says, come on. So master, Maya is the master. You rascal, come here. Yes, we are chained. And at any time, Maya can pull on the chain and let us know who's the real master. And as soon as Maya pulls on her chain, they must follow. They have no reason to be proud, still they are proud. Krishna has given you sunlight so you can see. Krishna has given you nice breeze, therefore you can live, you can breathe. Everything is dependent. We are also dependent. Without light, without air, without rain or water, how we can live? So we are completely dependent. But on account of false prestige, we are thinking that we are free. I am God. I can do anything. This is demoniac attitude. Why has God made the arrangement of sex? There is no need. But not dushpuram. Kamasya nindriya priti. Don't use it for sense gratification. Use it to fulfill the purpose of life. So these lusty desires, unless you live in a very regulated life, then it will be dushpuram. It will never be fulfilled. Always desire, always desire, always desire. So these demons, they accept the shelter of lusty desire, which will never be fulfilled, will never be satiated. But those who are devas, godly, their lusty desire is controlled, restricted. Therefore, this is varnashram, four varnas and ashrams. This is education, how to control this lusty desire. The more they try to enjoy it, the more they get kicked. The business of human life is how to become free from this material engagement. But the demons, instead of becoming free from material entanglement, they become more and more involved. And Prabhupada gives an example, when you fly a kite, you use a reel and you let go of the string and it makes it go very high. But then also use the same reel to bring the kite back in. So he said, so this wheel, the human form of body, the human life, is meant for not prolonging the unclean material life, the lust, but how to stop it. Now stop it. It is meant for that purpose. Therefore, in Vedanta Sutra, it is said, Atata Brahma Jigyasa. Then Krishna says, the second part of the verse, Mohat Grihit Vasad Grahan. That they are they're an illusion, the demons. And therefore, grihitva asa grahan. They accept things which are asat, or impermanent, to be permanent. So this asat grahan, Prahlad Maharaj described his dear father as asat grahan also. That he likes to grasp or take shelter of the temporary things. But asatgrahat also means like a rascal crocodile grabbing onto sense gratification. And when a crocodile bites you, it doesn't let go, and its jaws are very strong. So the demons, they grab onto sense gratification, and they don't let go. So like an obstinate crocodile. And parvartante asuchi vrata. They're sworn to unclean work. They take vratas, like we're having our Kartik vrata, and we have our Ekadasi vrata, but they have Asuchi vrata. They make a vow to be unclean. That means they take the Bama Marg, the path of the left hand. Right? There's Dakshin Marg, and with left hand you do everything dirty. Bama means left hand. So they take the path of Bama Marg. And there's many such rascals who are in the guise of religionists following Asuchi Vratas. Prabhupada mentions this at the end of his commentary. The word Asuchi Vrata, unclean vows, is very significant in this connection. Such demoniac people are only attracted by wine, women, gambling, and meat eating. Those are their Asuchi, unclean habits. Induced by false pride and prestige, they create some principles of religion which are not approved by the Vedic injunctions. Just like we have here in India the owls and bowls and daravesh, a few of the upasampradayas. And the bowels of Bengal, they're called, they generally have the gown of a fakir, Muslim priest, long gown. They keep their hair in a bun, like tied up, and they have big, usually they're bearded, and they carry like a shoulder bag with them. They also have a kind of syncretic approach to their religion, because they use Vaishnav Tila, they have Japa Mala, but they also have the beads of the Muslim fakir, the glass beads, and sometimes they wear the Rudraksha beads. They smoke hashish to increase their sense control, and they have big mahotsavs which happen to fall on the Vaishnav holidays. They also have, while we're here having our festivals and mahotsavs, they also have some big camps and pandals where they have mahotsavs. They come together and they smoke hashish and they play music, and they bring their sadhakis with them, their yoginis, and they come to these mahotsavs. They have illicit sex with their sadhakis, and then they come to the mahotsavs and then they meet other men and then they swap sadhakis like this. And this is part of their practice. This is their traditional practice. And this is the foundation of the hippie movement. The hippies do the same thing, except for they play electric guitars. They look the same. Right. So their whole religion was based upon the owls, bowels, and Darvesh are they're connected. The Darveshas are the high priests or the mystic saints of the owl and bowel tradition. And the whole religion is based upon Sanatan Goswami's statement when he told the jailer, in order to let him, to set him free from the jail, that I'll go to Mecca and become a Darvesh. So they take this as the Paribhasha Sutra of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And they created their whole religion about this one statement. Daravesha hana ami maka ke haiba. I will go to Mecca and become a Daravesh. So they say this is Sanat Goswami's most elevated statement in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So this is how, you know, these splinter groups or schisms can be created just by one word, right? Daravesha amihana mekake haiba. I will go to Mecca and I will become Daravesh. Reference. Anyway, I don't have the verse number. You can look in the folder. Daravesh is a name for the Muslim priests who are like Babaji's. They're ascetics of the Muslim religion. They generally wear beards and they live, you know, very simply, praying and fasting. Of course, they're not very clean. So when Sanat Goswami got freed from the jail, he just walked through the forest for about a week. He didn't eat anything. And since he was in jail and since he was alone and so forth, when he got to Varanasi, he looked like a Darvish. You know, he was dirty and he had a beard. And so So when Chandrasekhar looked outside on the order of Mahaprabhu to look for some Vaishnava, he didn't see any Vaishnava. He said there was only some Darvish, some Muslim mendicant sitting outside. But it was not Goswami. And then Mahaprabhu came, he got up and went outside and embraced Sanat Goswami. But there, if you look in that, that's where that's found. I believe you. Well, when Sanat Goswami leaves, when he's trying to get out of the jail, then you'll find in that chapter, that story, that quote. So, when Chandrasekhar calls him a Darvish, Prabhupada translates it as hippie. Anyway, there's different ways of using the words. Alright, so now we'll read the next verse. Describing, again, the activities and the psyche of the demon.
Shintam varimeyam cha pralayantam upashataha kama pabhoga parama etava iti nishitaha asha pasha shader badha kama krodha parayanaha ihante kama boghartam anyanye narta sanchayam.
They believe that to gratify the senses is the prime necessity of human civilization. Thus, until the end of their end of life, their anxiety is immeasurable, bound by a network of hundreds of thousands of desires, and absorbed in lust and anger. They secure money by illegal means for sense gratification. So these people are chintam aparimeyamcha, immeasurable anxieties, immeasurable. You cannot count there. Chintam means anxiety, this disturbance. Aparimeyam, you cannot count, so much. So aparimeyam means like a bottomless pit. There's no end to their anxieties, because when the mind becomes feverishly filled with kama, dushburam, then there is just this chintam, this great anxiety in the mind, and different kinds of sufferings. And because they have taken shelter of sense gratification, also they are pralayantam upashita. In other words, their resolution is to drown themselves in the ocean of sense gratification, right up to the last breath. Pralayantam means until their last breath, until their destruction. And of course you've heard the story of the king and the minister, who also said that a man is desperate for sense gratification right up to the last breath. And then the king didn't believe it, but then the minister brought him to the room of a dying man, and he requested the king to bring his young beautiful daughter, the princess, with him. And then the old man, once they got into the room, the old man, even though the king was standing right in front of him and the minister, the old man was eyeing the young princess, and even though he was on his deathbed. So this is pralayantam upashrita. They have made this determination. Just like we want to take shelter of Krishna at the time of our death, and they are determined to take shelter of sense gratification right up to the last moment. You know, Prabhupada was translating Bhagavatam up until the last moment. And these demons, they have the opposite understanding. Kama pabogam parama. So why do they do this? Because they accept that kama and boga is parama, it's supreme. They think this is the highest thing in life. Etiva eti nishchitaha. This is their determination. Therefore, asha pasha shadel badha. They are bound by hundreds and thousands of desires, just like a net which binds, traps someone in a net. So pasha means rope. So with this rope, they hang themselves. They have a rope of desire, asha pasha, and this binds them like animals. caught in a trap. Kama karoda parayana, they take shelter again, says they take shelter of lust and anger. Ihante kama boghartan, and they endeavor and steal or bear false witness in order to get boga, in order for the purpose of boga and kama. Anyanyanarta sanchayan, and anyaya means illegal. Is it? Anyanyena, illegally. Arta means well. Sanchayan, accumulation. So for the accumulation of wealth, they do anything, any illegal thing. Prabhupada tells an interesting story of Ajamil. You know very well that Ajamil was a nice Brahmin boy, very pure and well-intentioned. And as he was walking home one day, he saw two Shudras embracing on the roadside. And they were passionately embracing one another. The woman's breast was exposed. And so his mind was affected by this. This samskar entered deep within his mind and heart. So although going home to his legally and married wife and children, he could not get this lady off of his mind. So he decided to hire her as his maidservant, cleaning woman, with the intention of some enjoyment. And he did that. So they joined together for enjoyment, and he became mad over this lady and left his good wife and children and just ran off with his prostitute. So she demanded so much wealth and opulence from him, which he didn't have. He was a Brahmin, and you know, Brahmins are poor. So in order for him to get money, he had to anyanyenarta sanchayan. He had to take to illegal means in order to collect money. So Prabhupada describes in one lecture that he would go out onto the street like a con man with his cohort, and dressed in very opulent clothing, he would look on the ground feverishly. Oh, where is it? Oh my God, I've lost it. Oh, where? And he'd be looking back and forth on the ground. And until some kind gentleman would come and say, oh, brother, what have you lost? Why are you lamenting so? Can I help you? And he says, oh, I lost a diamond ring that I was going to bring for my wife. I've spent 5 lakhs of rupees on this, and I cannot find it. Please help me. If you find it, I will pay you the full amount. If you can find this, please help me, brother. So then the man says, all right. He begins looking back and forth. And then after some time, his constituent, his cohort, comes up on the other side. Psst, hey, buddy, come here. He goes, what's up? He says, oh, I have this ring. I need money, quick. I have this ring, this diamond ring. I want to sell it. He says, you have a diamond ring? He says, yes. How much do you want for it? It's just 2 lakhs of rupees. Immediately he thinks, calculates, 5 lakhs minus 2 equals 3. He says, oh, that's very good. And he says, all right, I'll buy it. And he takes 2 lakhs of rupees out and gives to the man. And he says, this must be the ring. And he has this ring, and then he turns around to look for Ajamil, and he's gone. And then he looks for the man who sold him the ring, and he's gone. And then he brings this to the jeweler, and he finds that it's only glass, made of glass. So this was what Ajamil was doing on the street daily to get money for his lady friend. So this is one such example. Of course, don't get any ideas. Do this. No. But this is one illegal way of securing money. A desperate man who had taken shelter of love. He was kama ashritya, therefore he was also alpa budaya. But later, by the mercy of Harinam, he was rectified. So once getting some wealth illegally, now we can see what is the thoughts, the mentality of the demon described in the next few verses.
Idam adya maya labdham imam prapsye manoratham idam asti idam api me bhavishyati punardhanam asamaya hata shatrur hanishye chaparanapi ishraham maham bhogi siddhoham balavan suthi adyo bijanavanasmi konyosti sadrisho maya yakshe dhasyami modishya ityagyanavimohitaha.
The demoniac person thinks, so much wealth do I have today, and I will gain more according to my schemes. So much is mine now, and it will increase in the future more and more. He is my enemy, and I have killed him, and my other enemies will also be killed. I am the lord of everything. I am the enjoyer. I am perfect, powerful, and happy. I am the richest man surrounded by aristocratic relatives. There is none so powerful and happy as I. I shall perform sacrifices. I shall give charity, and thus I shall rejoice. In this way, such persons are deluded by ignorance. So after he gets money, this is how he thinks. In the commentaries, the previous acharyas have made a extracurricular conversation. He says something like, so much wealth I have today, and I have killed my enemies, and I will kill more of them, and I will gain more money, more and more. And then the person says that, it's by the Lord's mercy that you have become so successful? And then he replies, what? How dare you say, I am the Lord? And then the person says, how is it that you're Ishvara? And he says, because I am Bhogi, I am the enjoyer, just see my opulence. And he says, but is there no other Lord? He says, no, I am the Lord. Why stop looking for any other God other than me? Just see, I am so powerful, and I am happy, and I am so wealthy. And I will go to the heavens. I will give in charity, and I will become very righteous. And I will go to the heavens, and I will enjoy with the apsaras there. I will embrace them and kiss them passionately and enjoy. Ha 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 ha. That's Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Balaji Vidyabhushan describes something like this. So this is their mentality. They have this enjoying mentality. They think they are so great. Again, they are very proud because of all of their opulence. Text 16. Let's see. Do we have something to read on this? Prabhupada mentions here. Maya labdham means I have got it. Imam prapsye manuratam. Again, I shall get tomorrow so much money, and my bank balance will increase to such and such strength. Idam asti. I got so much, and so much will be added, and the balance will increase. Idam me bhavishyati punardhanam. In this way, I will increase the amount of my wealth more and more. The materialist is thinking, how to increase his money? What does the devotee want to increase? On the other hand, Prabhupada, he's now contrasting, but what does the devotee want to increase? How much love I have increased for Krishna. That is bhakti. That is a real devotee. But where there is no bhakti, they are thinking of this material increase. Asau maya hata, thinking others are enemy. Actually, in the higher status of life, a devotee does not think anyone as enemy. Sama saveshu bhuteshu man bhaktim labhate param. Sama, he knows that no one can become my enemy unless Krishna desires. So why shall I think of him as my enemy? Krishna has desired him to act as my enemy just to correct me, just to make me more advanced in spiritual life. So why shall I take any action upon him as enemy? Then Prabhupada contrasts the demoniac vision and desires of the topmost devotee, like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was thinking only how to increase his devotion. In separation from Krishna, he was feeling, I have no bhakti. Lord Chaitanya was saying, the proof is that I have no bhakti, that I have no love for Krishna, is that if I had any drop of love for Krishna, how could I live so long without Krishna? Shunyayatam jagat sarvam govinda virahinami. So this is love of Krishna. How can I live separated from Krishna? But the demons are thinking, how can I increase my money more and more? So now, for them, money has become God. The almighty dollar has taken the position of God in many a man's heart. Text 16. Aneka chitta vibranta moha jala samavritaha prasakta kama bhogeshu patante narakeshu chao. Thus perplexed by various anxieties and bound by a network of illusions, they become too strongly attached to sense enjoyment and fall down into hell. So again, the word chitta is aneka chitta vibranta, perplexed by their anxieties. Endless anxieties. Moha jala samamrita. They are surrounded by their moha jala. Their moha jala, their net of illusions. And Prabhupada comments at the end there that here the Sanskrit word moha jala is very significant. Jala means net, like fish caught in a net. They have no way to come out. So this idea is there in the other verse also, something similar. This Asha Pasha and Moha Jala. Prasakta Kama Bhogeshu, they're super attached to lust and enjoying. Patanti Narake Shuchao, they fall down into hell. The word Naraka means the place where people cry. Patante, naraka, ashochi, and this ashochi particularly means a dirty place. In hell there are many places, but the dirtiest of all the hells is the Vaitarani River, where there are worms that are eating each other, and it's full of pus and mucus and blood and stool and urine. And the person is inserted in this river, and he's bit by the various creatures there, worms and this Vaitarani River. This is what is meant by the word asuchao here. Prabhupada describes the demoniac mentality of the modern man in the middle paragraph of his commentary. Each demoniac person thinks that he can live at the sacrifice of all others. Generally, a demoniac person thinks of himself as the supreme God. And a demoniac preacher tells his followers, why are you seeking God elsewhere? You are all yourselves God. Whatever you like, you can do. Don't believe in God. Throw away God. God is dead. These are the demoniac's preachings. Text 17. Atma sambhavita stabdha dhana mana madhanvitaha yajante nama yagyaiste dhammenavedi purvakam. Self-complacent and always impudent, deluded by wealth and false prestige, they sometimes proudly perform sacrifices in name only, without following any rules or regulations. Atma-sambhavitaha means I am worshipable associate. What's her name? Yoko Ono. And they made an album. What is the name of this album? Remember? Cold Turkey. Yeah. So John Lennon wanted to play this music for Srila Prabhupada, Cold Turkey. And if you ever heard this music, there's Yoko Ono is screaming at the top of her lungs on the main cut of the album, and he wanted to play this for Prabhupada. It's horrible music. Even to the hippies it was horrible to speak of Prabhupada. So Prabhupada came into the living room with Ashama Sundar, I believe, and he just was shocked. He saw that there was this big photo of John Lennon and Yoko Ono standing completely naked. Totally naked. You know, and Prabhupada, you know, was subjected to seeing this horrible photograph. So he sat down on the living in the on the couch of the living room, and John Lennon was going to play this music. But then he came to put the cassette player on. He had one of these reel-to-reel players, but somehow it didn't work. And he tried and he tried and he tried again, but it didn't work. And outside, there was two devotees, Dhananjaya and someone else. And they were kind of in the bushes trying to look and see what was going on, what Prabhupada was doing. And then they heard John Lennon curse something under the, under his breath. You know, damn it. And he couldn't turn the machine on. And then Prabhupada said, I also have my recording. Maybe you would like to hear mine. And then he just, alternatively, he switched on his. So Shyamasundara, I think he ran out and got his tape, and they played the Prabhupada's recording for John and Yoko, and they were listening to his recording. So Prabhupada said, he said, I was invited by John Lennon. He said, he had this horrible picture. He's a shameless man, naked himself and his wife naked. And he's a big respected man. All the newspaper reporters and everyone comes to get his opinion, and he's a big respected man, but he's so shameless. He has a picture of himself naked like that. But because he has money, everyone respects him as a very important man. So this is the meaning of dana, mana, madanvita. All of their prestige is based on money. No matter how low class and shameless they are, if they have money, then they're respected. Yajante nama yagyaste, that they're performing sacrifices in name only. Generally, nama yagya means chanting the holy name, but here it has a different meaning. It means in name only. It means it's a false show of a sacrifice. Dambinan vina purvakam. They don't follow any of the rules and regulations of religion. The previous Charyas commented, he wants big, big titles in Mahapuja. They perform sacrifices to cheat others. They concoct processes of dharma, deities, and bogus mantras. Just like we know of this great Charan Das Babaji, the time of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he concocted the mantra, Nittai Gaur Radhe Shyam Chapa Hare Krishna Hare Ram Bhaja Nittai Gaur Radhe Shyam. They have a few temples around here, right in back of the temple. Also to the side, and also where I'm staying, there's quite a few of them. And every morning at around 7 o'clock, there's three men that come out and they do a Harinam. You've seen these men? Every day they come out. Yeah, they're there also. Yeah, so Charan Das Babaji had a conversation with Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur convinced him that this was a concoction, a bogus thing, that he should stop this. So he defeated this Charan Das. 6 months later, he died having gone insane. But his devout follower, what was his name? Ram Das Babaji, I think. He continued propagating this nonsense all around East Bengal, Orissa, and Vrindavan. And so that's why there's so many people that do this. Because he and Charan Das were very enthusiastic. They would preach everywhere, very organized. They had big mahotsavs. They renovated old temples. They gave in charity prasadam to many sadhus. So because they were very popular and well organized, they spread this nonsense mantra everywhere. And the local people, they don't know any better. So they think, you know, it has a catchy sound to it. You know, Nirtai Go, Radhe Shyam, Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. So they chant this. But it's an offense to Lord Chaitanya because they say that Mahaprabhu did not give the Maha Mantra for this age, for deliverance. That this is the mantra that they chant. And it also compares Mahaprabhu and Nityananda to Radha and Krishna. In other words, I think Lord Nityananda is the manifestation of Srimati Radharani. And they say Mahaprabhu is Krishna. Oh, that's true also. But so this is Rasabhas. It's also a fancy. So there's all kinds of bogus mantras that people chant. This is just one. Bogus deities and this different processes of dharma that the demons introduce in Kali Yuga. Nowadays there are so many splinter groups, apa sampradayas. Actually, before Mahaprabhu, Tota Ramdas Babaji, he was the one who came up with the 13, groups, Al, Baal, Daravesh, Shani, Saki Beki, Chudodhari, Gauranga Nagari, Smarta, like this, Jati Gosai, all of these. And he predicted that they would sprout in Kali Yuga. And they did, 13 of the major ones. Later, more and more sprouted as subgroups, sub-splinter groups of these. And now there's hundreds of such groups. One group is called Guru Prasadi. Did I tell you about this earlier? The guru, he marries his disciples, but then the man must offer his wife to the guru first, and then after the guru enjoys with the newly wedded wife, then he hands the wife over to the man as his prasad. So she's called Guru Prasadi. And then there's another called Shishya Vilasi, where the guru has many female associates that he has illicit sex with. Sometimes you can see them in the airports and so forth. These men with long flowing saffron robes and long hair, and they're followed by also saffron clad yoginis and sadhikis. Something like this you can see. And they're all kind of, goo-goo-eyed and kind of following him and so forth. And they look very sensual. There's even a group that states that one should accept one's mother-in-law as a guru. Mother-in-law guru. How horrible. So, there's so many different groups like this. People love to concoct, make up their own things. They feel that then they can be founder acharyas of their own religion. So the results are given in text 18. What happens to such people? Ahankaram balam darpam kama krodam cha sanshitaha mam atma paradeheshu pradvichanto vyasuyakha. Bewildered by false ego, strength, pride, lust, and anger, the demons become envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead who is situated in their own bodies and in the bodies of others, and they blaspheme against the real religion. So they become envious of God. Pradvishanto avyasuryakaha. They blaspheme the Lord and the Vedas also, because the Vedas or the scriptures are spoken by God. So they envy God and those who worship God. Their envy takes the form of their being unable to tolerate another devotee's advancement on the path of bhakti, seeing only their defaults despite so many good qualities. So also within the Vaishnava community we see this can also sprout in our hearts. Because we have our little demons inside that we have to battle with. And so this is one form of verse, another manifestation of this verse. Balaji Vidyabhushan says, they envy me as well as the Vedic literature. They are envious and use improper logic to find fault with the Vedas and myself. And here the word balam means, I am strong. No one dare defy me. I will smash them. And so they become very angry. Kama krodam chasangshitaha. Because they are bewildered by their ahankar and balam, darpam. Right, their pride, and their false ego, and their strength. But here, the guru's anger is not counted as envious or demoniac. The guru gets angry, he does it to train the disciple. And he's not actually angry because of his own sense gratification, but rather he's exhibiting some anger to sober the disciple. Balam means, I'm strong, no one dare defy me. I will smash them. And so they become very angry. Kama krodam chasangshitaha. Because they're bewildered by their ahankar and balam, darpam, right? Their pride, and their false ego, and their strength. But here, the guru's anger is not counted as envious or demoniac. The guru gets angry, he does it to train the disciple. And he's not actually angry because of his own sense gratification, but rather he's exhibiting some anger to sober the disciple. So don't think of the guru gets angry with you that he's a demon. Okay, so we'll stop there. Are there any questions or comments? That people could have some of these good qualities, but at the same time have these bad qualities. Well, Hiranyakashipu was also very austere, and he was very learned in the Vedas. But his whole purpose was to become God. So the motivation for the activity is more important than some external show of religiosity. The different angas of religion, like austerity, vegetarianism, or different Vedic knowledge, forming tapas, so forth. Because some people form tapas and their whole purpose is just to become famous and powerful, or to cause suffering to others by cursing them or so forth. Just like the Vrikasura. He was performing so many austerities and religious sacrifices. Right? They're chanting mantras, making offerings into the fire, even their own flesh. So, but look at you have to look at the heart, the mentality. So we say that ultimately, real religiosity means the person's purpose is to please God. Anyabhilashita shunyam, gyanakamaninavatam, anukuyena krishnanam shilanam. So real bhakti means that the person is trying to please God. And he has to do it with the mentality of trying to please God, and God must be pleased by the activity. God was also pleased with fighting with, so many demons like Kamsa and Shishupal and so forth. He enjoyed that. But their mentality wasn't to please Krishna. So there has to be both things. Krishna has to be pleased, and the person has to have a mood to please in order for it to be actual religion, real bhakti. So there can be a mix of these things. Things mix together all the time. And it's not so astounding that there are people like this. They may have practiced some aspects of Vedic culture, but yet be demoniac. Just following, and then somehow he becomes overwhelmed and acts in a demoniac way, in sinful life. So how can he be judged or determined to what is his position? Of course, everyone's different, and this can possibly happen to some devotees. But if they continue to perform devotional activity with determination, then they are considered saintly. So that's the main criteria. That if they continue to perform devotional service, then they are considered saintly. So they may do so many things. But if they come back to the process of bhakti, and they engage in devotional service, and they begin to follow again, then they can be accepted again as devotees. Generally, the reason for such things is because of aparad, offenses, to Vaishnavas. And this reaction to offenses can cause such severe types of behavior, which is contradictory to the person's normal behavior. This is generally what happens. But again, you know, if the devotee is engaging in devotional service and he again follows the principles, then, and he gives this up, then he can be accepted as he was before. The Madhyam Adhikari, he helps the innocent and he avoids the demons. But sometimes we meet people who are on the street who are innocent, but they're performing demoniac activities. So how can we discriminate between who's a demon and who's innocent? Well, the verse actually says, Ishwaraya tad adineshu baliseshu dvitsatsu cha. So someone who is dvitsatsu, someone who has dvesha or envy, like here, and someone who envies Pradvishanto Vyasurya Kaha. They blaspheme God and the Vedas or the devotees, and they're envious and hateful and malefic and malicious like that. That means they're to be avoided. Then we do upeksha, we avoid them. But if someone's innocent, if he doesn't even know that, like, you know, eating meat is sinful, or whatever, and he's not envious of Krishna, he hears Krishna or Prabhupada or the Hare Krishna movement, and he's quite open-minded and he's very friendly and likes to listen and even maybe, you know, give a donation or favorably disposed in various ways, then we know he's innocent. And then he's just misled by his parents and by the, you know, educators in the country and by the politicians and the leaders of society in general, the leader's duty to educate the youth. But so if there's a person that's like that, then he's innocent, even though he may be performing sinful demoniac activities. He's in his heart, he's innocent. The statement is being proposed that the Madhyam Adhikari, if he's very powerful, he can convert the demon into a devotee. So therefore, the demoniac characteristic or categorization of the person is dependent upon the power of the preacher, not so much on the person himself. Well, that's debatable, I'd say, because although it definitely plays a part in if the person's coming to Krishna, because the more powerful the preacher is, the more he can move people to become devotees. But generally, people who are very much envious, who are dvitsatsu, even an Uttamadhikari may not be able to move him if he doesn't want to surrender to God. It depends on the person's desire also. Some people are just envious, and they, even if they meet an Uttamadhikari, they won't become a devotee. We've seen Prabhupada was preaching, and generally those who are innocent became devotees. Although it may be that occasionally someone who is envious may become converted. Just like I told you once, that there was a devotee who would go out to rip up the books of the Sankirtan devotees. But he didn't have direct contact. He was just touching the books, and somehow he was transformed. So these kind of, you know, miraculous conversions can take place. But in general, the persons who are innocent, they become devotees very quickly by the powerful preaching of a Madhyamadikari or an Uttamadikari who comes to the Madhyam level. Generally, we don't see people who are so envious becoming converted. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki.